Yo, what is good? Go Squad! We are back for season 3, and y'all already know it's about to go down. If you've been rocking with us, welcome back. And if this is your first time checking out the podcast, welcome to the Go family. We are so excited that you're here. And without further ado, I'm just going to get straight into this thing because we have a guest here who is not only my brother and my friend, someone who I've known for years, but somebody who is literally reaching the nations with his music, reaching people all over beyond just Christian spheres, but people in the secular space, people all over are getting blessed by his content. He's viral every time he posts. This dude is a true man of God, and I've known him for so long. So to be able to have him here is a blessing, and I want to introduce to some, and maybe you already know, but I want to say what's up to my brother. Miles Minnick is in the house. Let's go.
Time, bro.
Glow sure. Nation.
Hey, Glow Nation, Go Nation, Go Squad, whatever you want to call it, man. I'm super excited to be here, bro. You are the real deal. I've been waiting to get on this pod. This joint has been blessing my life. So to be here, man, is nothing short of an honor, for real.
Yeah. Amen.
No, it's huge.
Yeah.
And obviously, you guys already know what time it is. We got Rick. We got Jet in the house. It's time to just, let's glow. Let's go. And this topic, we're going to talk about going anyways. Mm. Or glowing anyways.
Mm.
You know, and I want to just honestly, because you're with us, bro, I want to kick it off by asking, who is Miles Minnick and how did we get to this version of you?
Ooh, really good question, man. This version of me. So I'm a husband, a father. I'm a Christian rap artist. I am, I guess you could call me a motivational preacher, speaker, whatever you want to call it. Social media influencer, I guess that's a new thing they call it now. How did I get here? So I was a hoodlum. I was in them streets as a teenager in high school. I was drinking, smoking, fighting. My dad was an OG in my city. My brother was an OG in my city. They were both feared individuals. So I would walk around with a chip on my shoulder like, I'm untouchable. Can't nobody touch me. I'm doing what I want to do, doing my music, dating all these girls, X, Y, and Z. Until one day when I was 16, I stepped into a church high on weed. And then the pastor laid hands on me, and I literally felt the Holy Spirit, felt the presence of God hit me at a time of my life where I was rebellious, at a time of my life where I was lost with no direction. God found me. He took away one high, gave me a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I was tapped into that church, met my wife at that church, became a youth pastor at that church, learned how to perform and speak and do everything at that church.
Yeah.
And now God has launched me to where I am now. And it's nothing short of a miracle, for real.
Wow. Amen.
Man, talk about like God using somebody who others probably would have written off. Like, does that resonate? I know for me, bro, like there are definitely like times where I felt like, you know, how can God use somebody like me? You know, how can he turn my story into his glory? And that's what it sounds like, bro. So like, what did that look like? How did you navigate that?
You know, I think a lot of people have this preconceived notion that God can only use one type of person. You know, God can only use somebody who is 40 and up with a suit on, or God can only use somebody who comes from a Christian household. But as you can see throughout scripture, even throughout present times, God could use anybody he wants from any different type of background. For me, I didn't grow up in a predominantly Christian household. Like, my dad taught me how to pray, but there was a lot of alcohol uses in my home. There was cocaine uses. There was drug uses in the home. I didn't see a Christian lifestyle, but even though I didn't see it, that didn't mean I couldn't become it.
Yeah.
And God took somebody like me, and I'm sure you guys may have similar stories where I had a baby when I was 15 years old. I was in high school with my daughter doing my homework. You know what I mean? It seemed like I was going to be another statistic, but God took me from that place and brought me into his marvelous light. And now even to this day, people say, oh, look at what he's wearing. Look at the hats. Look at the style. God is not pleased. Like, who are you to say God is not pleased? God is more concerned with the heart of my chest than I had on my head.
Mm-hmm.
God is more concerned with my intention and the mission than what kind of jacket I choose to put on or what kind of 808s I choose to put on my music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, bro, this is what it is.
It's facts.
I love it. And I think you answered my next question within it, but my next question was going to be like, why do you think God chooses unlikely and unsuspecting people? And anybody can jump in on this, because I think that's a really important question to ask, because some people have decided that they're not going to go all in with God because they feel like they won't be able to reach people, or mm-hmm. they feel like they won't be effective, or like for some reason, if I decide to go all in with God, like I'm not going to be as successful as I would be if I went into this secular space, or if I went into business in this way, or if I compromised myself to get this or that. So jump in on that. Like, why do you think anyone, why do you think God chooses unlikely and unsuspecting people?
It's a good question. I think it's unlikely and unsuspecting to us, but you know, God chooses everyone. He calls everyone, and it's just, it shows his glory that much more when he takes somebody who you would never expect.
Yeah.
And he brings them all the way over to his side. Like, obviously, I think of Paul and how he was the last person that you would assume that he would be a Christian carrying God's
words.
Murdering
Christians.
Murdering Christians.
Persecuting Christians.
Definitely in
y'all
rebellion.
Y'all follow the way, I bet you go get the smoke.
Yeah. And then he became one.
And then, right. And I think it's powerful what Jesus said to it. What he said to Ananias, I think in that verse too, he said, like, because he's like, why are you choosing this guy? Like, why are we going to go? Why do you want me to go lay hands and pray on this guy? And he says, I will show him how much he's going to suffer for my namesake. He said, Paul's my chosen instrument. And I wonder if that was just because he was, you know, doing wrong and it would be such more, like, a way more powerful story, or if that was always his call and he was redirected, but God waited to redirect him all the way over there. And maybe sometimes God waits to redirect us when we do get really far from him, just so we know when we are redirected, it's only God. And we talk about this a lot, people who grow up in the church and you venture off and do your own thing, and then you kind of come back, and they might have a different relationship with backsliding or sin, but people who grew up sinning and then come over, it seems like sometimes the switch is a little bit more radical because they know what it's like to live without him. But when you always had him, you can take it for granted.
The switch is radical, but also it ministers to the people who feel like they're too far from God.
Yeah.
It shows those people that it's possible. Like, if it could happen for him, it could happen for me too.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Absolutely.
Sometimes God may allow you to experience the deep end of life, the deep end of sin, and then snatch you up and save you to show everybody around you that you're not too far from home to where he can't get you.
Yeah.
Or you're not too far in sin to where he can't change your life around. That's so powerful.
Yeah.
Bro, think about the fact that he said, I would use the foolish things to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And the foolish things, if we look at what even the people at the time, the Pharisees at the time, they thought that their king, their Lord, was going to come in and be this militant guy with power and authority in the way that they perceived it. And Jesus came in, born in a manger around feces and stinking animals and all kinds of things. You know, unlikely and unsuspecting. What if maybe that's the plan of God, is to use these foolish things, the things that people would write off, to say, no, this is how I get glory out of people's lives.
Yeah,
I get glory when people go through things. That's where a story's developed. There's nothing more powerful than hearing a testimony of God transforming a life. And so wherever you're at on the journey, every part of your life that you experience can be used by God, and he desires to use it, and everything about him is intentional. It makes Romans 8:28 come to life. For God will cause all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes.
All things.
I wanted, we can't not talk about David.
Yeah.
You know, we can't not talk about how he was just chilling, minding his business, content
in the sheepfold.
In the thing that he was doing, you know? But I think the most powerful thing is that God exalted him. You know, it wasn't like he was looking for it. Nobody was looking for David. Bro came, who was it? Samuel. Samuel came and was like, hey, this first one, he's built right. He looks right. He got the stature. He probably got the right smell good on, you know? Because you got to look the part and smell the part.
That's right.
That might be that. Just a me.
What you got on right now?
Hey, you know, I got on some Zara regular.
All right.
That's all right. That's all right.
Got to talk to my brother Isaiah about the regular.
Don't worry. Zay will be in at some point.
Yes, he's that guy. You feel me? But he looked the part. But David came in the house like, hey, what's up? I was just finishing up the work that God told me to do. Minding my business, being present in moments. And when he walked in there, Samuel said, yeah, this is him. Then he got anointed. Then he walked for years and not even became king yet.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He still was not even worried about the thing that he was looking forward to in the future.
Yeah.
He was still present in moments. Then when it came to knock that giant down, he showed up.
Yeah.
And he still wasn't tripping. He was focused on the moment. If we stay focused on moments, the thing that God is calling us to will hit different.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. It makes you more aware. I think when you're in, especially when you become aware of this reality that God has called you or God has chosen you, you start to see everything that you do as intentional. Mm-hmm. And you start to realize, I need God, because if I'm going to do the things that he created me for, I have to be connected to him. I have to be connected to the source.
Yeah.
Because if he's the one who has the blueprint for our lives, then he's the one who has the master plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one who rewards those who diligently seek him. And so I guess that's a great way to segue this question. What has been one of your greatest challenges in following God's plan?
Trusting his timing.
Oh, man.
Can we talk about that, yo? Yeah. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, buddy.
This has been on my heart a lot lately.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear what you say.
Oh, yeah, bro, because it's like, how many of us have had a dream or received a prophetic word or felt an unction in our spirit, like, that God was going to do something special in our lives? Like, for me, it was almost like 10 years ago. It was a huge moment in church where I get called right out of the back. Like, you know those moments.
Yeah.
Like, young man, come here. I come to the front.
Make way for the man of God.
Make way for the man of God. But it was such a God moment. Like, I knew it was God, because I came into church that day like, Lord, if you're real, speak to me.
Mm.
Like, God, if you really have a plan for me, I need you to tell me today.
Wow.
And I came to church late. I was in the back. It was a packed service. But the guest speaker came to the edge of the stage, pointed me out of the back. He said, come here.
Whoa.
He said, God is going to send you all over the world. You're going to be super impactful on social media for the Lord. You're going to dance for God in front of the world. God's going to use your music to go into the nations of X, Y, and Z. And so when he said that, I thought it was going to happen immediately.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought I was going to leave church and step into a limousine.
Uh-huh. I'm lit this week.
Yeah, you walk out of church like, all right, I got the word from God.
Exactly.
There's a Rolls Royce parked in front.
You know, I'm about to hop in. You know what I'm saying? But even after church that day, I went to clock in at my job at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was going to happen immediately, didn't manifest when I thought it would. You know, it happened eventually, but it took pruning. It took a process.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that word process was almost like a cuss word. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. I just wanted to step into it. You know, I was in a place in my life where I was thirsty for the promise instead of the promise keeper. I was chasing after what he said, what happened, instead of chasing after him. But it wasn't until, because look, yo, I was quitting jobs, like, off of that word. I was like, 2 week notice. And then it wasn't time to try to get another job. And then 2 week notice. And then it was a cycle until one day I was like, God, I'm not going to quit another job.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to step out again until you specifically tell me to do it. Because God, if you want me to be full-time ministry, you want to send me across the world, I'm going to need you to do it. And after I made that decision and submitted to his timetable, I got fired from that job. And then God launched me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
To the world immediately when I got fired from that job. It's like God orchestrated that moment.
Because
as soon as I got let go, my tour schedule, my travel schedule, my flights, everything started to just go insane, and it was unexplainable. It's like after I submitted to his timing, his promises were unfolded. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Everyone's process is different. Like, God could do it in a moment, in an instant. He could do it at any time that he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But God also is wise. He has all wisdom in his hands. So he knows everything about each and every single one of us and what our lives are going to do and to be. And so hearing you say that, bro, like, you submitted to the process even when you hated the word process.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
He said it became like a cuss word.
Yeah, you can't skip the process.
Yeah.
In order for anything to become what it's intended to, it has to go through a process. Mm-hmm. Any product, any service, anything that's created, in order for it to actually truly be great, it has to go through a process.
Mm.
And so God is developing each and every single one of us through our lives, through our circumstances, through our situations. And I think, it might be when you get to that place of surrender that God is like, bingo, that's what I've been looking for.
That's when it happened.
I've been looking for that. I've been searching for that. I've been waiting for that.
That's, you know, it's crazy, man. our stories are kind of similar, but I feel like they happen in opposite ways, right? So I also was, you know, believing God for a promise, believing God for, you know, hey, you're going to put me in front. I have this vision that God showed me. I saw something on Google, right? But then it was like God tailored it to me, right? It was a stadium full of people while outside. It was like the tent. You know how the tents, you outside in the festival, you got the tents, and you could see past that. It was like thousands of people. I was on the stage with a mic, and I don't know if I was speaking, rapping, whatever, but I knew that was me. And I had a word of knowledge that this would be you one day, right? So I moved out here about 5 years ago and working a job, got let go of the job, and I had a deal, a distro deal lined up, right? I was so invested. I was like, oh, man, it's finally happening. I'm getting old. I don't want to be 50 years old trying to start a rap career. Right, you feel what I'm saying? Right. I finally got the deal, and God stripped it away from me. And it made me realize, I was like, huh, was I so worried about myself being presented, or was I worried about God being presented? Because at the end of the day, now that place of surrender you already were in, I'm now in now. And that happened to me in 2020. And slowly but surely, I'm starting to see little sprinkles of things that are starting to happen. You know, oh, why? People are using my sounds and people are reposting. I'm like, yeah, now I don't care about that. Now I care about the kingdom being revealed through me, right? And I know, including the Holy Spirit in everything that I do, the beat selection, the sound selection, hi-hats, vocals, everything. How I'm using my words, how I'm presenting, like, I don't miss no more. It's like what PT was talking about. Now I'm shooting more accurately. As I grow in wisdom and understanding. He said, I'm taking a shot and I know I'm going to hit because I'm tapped in to the Holy Spirit. So I'm not missing no more.
In the flow. So in the stream. In the stream. I said this to y'all earlier. So God woke me up this morning at 5. Like, it was like 4:45 in the morning. And I was searching for, God, what are you trying to say to me right now? Like, I don't know why I'm up. I can't go back to sleep. What could you have for me this morning? And I went through my normal things of prayer and listening to worship and trying to find things. And I ended up going to my emails. And I saw this email from somebody in my past who was a very awesome person, somebody who, you know, I totally haven't thought about because I haven't, you know, been in that space. But it was something that I invested a lot of time and effort and energy into. It was my dream. It was my vision. It was what I believe that I moved to Los Angeles for in the beginning, was to become an entertainer, an actor, and do this thing. And so I'm like, okay, I see this email from this person, and I open the email. And in the email, there were things that have to do with who I am today and things that, had I not submitted to God's process, I don't think this would have came. And this email, as soon as I opened it, the word of the Lord finally hit me, because I was searching, like, what are you trying to say to me right now? And he so, like, lovingly spoke to me, I waste nothing. Like, God wastes nothing. So when I hear your story, when I hear your story, and I know your story, bro, but, like, when I hear these things, I'm like, man, God wastes nothing. There's nothing wasted. Even the things that didn't work out, there's nothing wasted. There's nothing wasted with the deal. There's nothing wasted with the time at the job. There's nothing wasted. And God can bring everything around and actually make it work for you.
That's good.
And it's humbling, and it's just special to know that there's nothing wasted in God. Like, he will literally use everything, even things that you forgot about.
So good. Thinking back to the word, now we're like, we're talking about the timing, and then, like, you get a, but you get a word from God. My favorite verse is, the word is a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. The word is not a bright light that takes over the whole room. It's a lamp to your feet. It gives you the confidence just to start going. So if you're in this huge dark room, you have a lamp to your feet. So now I can at least see my feet and maybe like 3 feet in front of me with this lamp. So I can start walking, but I'm not sprinting. Like, I'm not from here to there immediately. I gave you a lamp to give you the confidence to start stepping forward. And as you're stepping, God's developing you. He's growing you. He's teaching you. You're unlearning things. You're learning things. So you're dropping these little things off. And then you get to that point where I don't even care where we're going anymore. At first, I wanted to see this room I'm in. I wanted to see what this word's actually going to be. But now I'm just walking and trusting you. And so right when you stop caring, you truly surrender to the walk with him. Then next thing you know, you hit that door at the end of the hallway, and it opens up, and then you walk right into it. Right when you stop caring, because you surrendered completely, and now it's only whatever you want to do, let's just do it. And then he's like, cool, that's what we're doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then it happens.
God is waiting for a surrendered heart.
Yes.
It's like, son, my daughter, when are you going to surrender your timetable to me? Mm-hmm. When are you going to surrender your dreams to me? I am the giver of the dream. I am the giver of the promise. Just give it to me and watch what I do with it.
Yeah.
That there is no greater place to be in than just in a place of surrender. Like, God, have your way. Whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, I'm going to let you do it. Because obviously, you know better than me.
Mm-hmm.
You know better than I. Oh, man. That's so good.
Yeah.
I just feel like he's trying to get all of us to that place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to get all of us to the place where we prioritize his voice, his word, his leading, his will. Jesus, when he walked, he literally would say, I don't do what I want to do, my own will. I do what I see my Father do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what if it was always about us getting to what he wants to do and prioritizing him first and seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that all things, all the visions, all the dreams, all the stuff that comes with whatever God showed you, what if it was about prioritization of the kingdom first?
Mm-hmm.
So that when he gives everything to you, that doesn't become your God. You don't start to worship the things, because a lot of people will get success and then they worship the things and then that has a hold of them. And now that's what runs their life. That's what they do. And the second that goes away, they feel depleted and depressed. And you've got multimillionaires and billionaires who are suicidal.
Wanting
to take their lives because they recognize, oh, this doesn't actually fulfill me. Mm. But what if God was trying to give kingdom people billions of dollars to actually do kingdom things because they didn't value the money and the money wasn't their God? Like, what if we got to a place where the money, the fame, that wasn't our God, and truly got there to say, at the end of the day, I serve you, whether I am in prison or whether I'm in the palace, I'm serving you.
Yeah.
And so it's this journey of prioritization. Like, I'm like going on this story with all of you as we're talking about it, where I'm like, just like, what is he saying? And it's prioritization, man. Like, prioritize me.
Yeah.
Seek me first.
Surrender helps you flow too.
Yes.
Because you get stopped up on all these different things. Like, if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, right before there is do not worry.
Yeah.
So don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. The birds are eating.
Yeah.
The lilies look beautiful. Everything's all dressed up. So don't worry about that because you get stopped up on that. So you're surrendered until you have a worry. Yeah. So now you don't trust me. So you're not fully surrendered. So what am I going to eat today? So now I'm not even looking at God. I'm looking at what I need, what I need. He's like, don't worry about what you need. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you.
Ooh.
So surrender just helps you flow when you live in that space. You can just keep flowing with God.
But okay, I'm so sorry. This has been eating at me. That's such a word. That's such a word. But can we talk about what do you do when what God tells you to do makes no sense? What you just said sounds like it's the Lord trying to console somebody where he gave an instruction to, where it's like, I know I told you to move to LA with no job and no money, but fear not. Do not worry. Have no anxiety. If I take care of the birds, I'm going to take care of you, right? How many times has God told us to do something that went against human logic?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But like you said, it's the word is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path that will guide us along the path. And when you have a word, it doesn't matter what's going on around you.
Yeah.
You could hold on to that thing. It could become an anchor for you.
Yeah.
That prophetic word that was spoken over me when all hell was breaking loose, when I was quitting jobs and being confused and following my own path, I just knew God had a plan for me. And when God called me to move out here to LA, I'm like, God, are you sure? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And it took me 5 years to actually do it because I'm like, Lord, we just bought a house in the Bay Area. Lord, my mortgage is $1,600 and I cannot find that in LA at all. If y'all got some plugs, holler at me.
I wish I did. I'd be using that plug
if
I had it.
Keep in mind, he said mortgage, a.k.a. a house, a.k.a. a home.
Yes.
If you're not in LA, you don't understand, but that's okay. You just visit. Just visit to enjoy it.
This is not Texas.
Unless God calls you. Unless God calls you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Don't run up on L.A.
Don't run up on L.A.
You know what's so crazy, though?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you know it's God telling you to do something when you don't want to do it.
When you don't.
That just demystifies, is God really speaking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, bro, it goes against your flesh.
Talk.
If your flesh is saying, nah, man, I'm itching. I'm sweating.
Oh, no, God.
I got anxiety. Those are all flesh responses. You feel what I'm saying? Those are all manly responses.
Yeah.
When you feel those things, okay, what is the opposite of that? Mm-hmm. What is God saying to you? God doesn't have to verbally say, all right, what is literally the word of God say? The Bible, you open it up, cast down the garment of heaviness, right? You cast it down for a trait of God. You cast it down for a trait of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Take up humbleness. Take up meekness, right? Mm-hmm. We're not worrying. Endurance, right? Yes. You have to endure. Those are things that you had to do in order to get what you... Long suffering, patience.
Long.
All the fruits.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. All the
These
fruits.
These are the fruits of the Spirit that we need to not skip over. Long suffering, forbearance, patience.
Patience, bro.
Forbearance. Yeah.
All I know is all those have to do with patience, though.
Patience, bro. Patience.
And timing. And trusting... Yeah. Trusting God's time. I love that you went there because we need to, and maybe this is for y'all, if you want us to have a conversation about the fruits of the Spirit, like I'm just going to take this moment right now to say, if you want us to have a conversation about the fruits of the Spirit, let us know because we will make this happen.
Because
we have to, and that's the purpose of this space, because if we all could get this,
long suffering.
Man.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know that we were going to go in the direction of patience and process and prioritization. There's these three P's: patience, process, prioritization. Mm. And so, what if
one thing about Ty, he's going to find?
Yeah,
him.
Yeah, I'm going to find. I'm going to find something. Find something.
This is how you preach.
Patience.
This.
Wow. Patience, process, prioritization. I don't know what order those would go in, but I think those things are so necessary. Mm-hmm. When it comes to this walk, they're necessary because when you surrender, that's another word in there too. When you surrender to God's plan, you're going to need them. You're going to need to understand the process. You're going to need to have patience, and you're going to need to know that it's so crucial that you prioritize his kingdom. Because without that, you won't be able to, you'll be frustrated all the time. Mm-hmm. You'll be so frustrated. And I think in order to have any of those, you have to first have surrender. Mm-hmm. And be willing to say, God, whatever you want to do. And that's going to be a constant surrender every day. I don't want to walk in my flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I have to crucify my flesh daily so that I can walk in the Spirit, so that I can walk by the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of my mouth, every word that comes out of the Lord's mouth.
Yeah.
And faith comes by hearing of the word of God. So right now we're all hearing these things. And my prayer, because you said you had a prophetic word, and I know that there are people who are like, man, I don't have a prophetic word. I've never had a pastor call me out. I've never had somebody lay hands on me or any of this kind of stuff. I don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. But the word of the Lord, as he spoke it to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He also later says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Mm. Plans for a future and a hope. So if that's the prophetic word you needed, just take it and run. Take it and run. Like I even like in your house, like take it because y'all that's like, good. Like I have plans to prosper and not to harm you.
Yeah.
Like that's an anchor right there. Mm-hmm. You don't need a pastor to give you word. And if you get it, that's amazing. Yeah. But just make sure that you have something that can anchor you.
That's good.
And be anchored by the word. Be anchored by the word. He is the living word.
Mm-hmm.
So the word is important. The word matters. The word, we can't, none of us would be here without the word.
Yeah.
Jesus, the personified word, but also the word that gives us access to his voice. You want to hear God's voice? Open your Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Open your Bible. You want to hear God's voice? I don't hear God's voice.
It's all prophetic. Because it's stuff that God knows about you, and it's stuff that God is calling you to that you don't really know yet or follow yet. Mm. It's all prophetic.
It's all prophetic.
Yeah, I have plans to give you a future and a hope. That's prophetic to me because I didn't know that. And so then you listen to the word and it's like, okay, like I can hold on to that.
And all things work for the good.
Exactly.
Which means it ain't over.
It's not
until
over.
It's good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what you're going through, it's not over until it's good. God has a plan for you. He plans to work it out for you. He plans to prosper you, to give you a hope in the future.
Yeah.
Hope is for now. You could spend hope right now to give you encouragement, to push you towards your future. The enemy wants to give you fear and despair and to have you take your life early or to have you to step out of the process, step out of the race. But God says, no, my son, my daughter, here's the hope. For your future, keep going, keep pressing, keep standing on the word. Like you said, you don't need a prophetic word, but the word is prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm sorry. This is so good.
Yeah.
This is so good, bro.
You know,
absolutely,
man. I'm stuck on this humility thing, this meekness.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know another prophetic word? Mm. Humble yourselves before the Lord.
Yes.
And he will exalt you.
Yes. Under the mighty hand.
Right. But here's the other part of it. If you exalt yourself, God will humble
you. God will humble
you. And I'm going to tell you what you don't want.
Come on.
If you know that you tripping and you wilding out and you boastful and you bragging on everything, Foggy Raw got a joint that said, God is my boast. That's biblical.
Yeah.
God, let God boast for you. Mm. Right? Listen. You want to humble yourself before God humbles you.
Because
by you humbling yourself, that means you are aware of where you have issues, right? Mm-hmm. You're aware of where you have cracks, wounds, childhood traumas, all of this stuff, right? Depression, anxiety. But if you see those things and you choose to ignore them, God says, I can't, you're not ready. Mm. You're not ready. All of the things that I'm showing you, they will be further and further away from you because you are so pressed on the thing that you see.
The humbling will come too.
Listen,
so if you think you're getting away with it, you don't want to keep running too long.
No. I don't want God to humble me. Hey, God, if you're watching this,
right.
I will humble myself as many times as possible. You know what else, bro? I got to say this too. If you don't have the right community around you, if you can't see yourself right, that's a problem.
Mm.
But if you got people around you that don't see you in your highest form, at a regular basis, that's another problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ain't humbling yourself, lean on your community. Let your community humble you too.
Because that
could be God speaking to
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
Powerful, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With this, I got a vision of what you're talking about a couple weeks ago about, like, let's say you think you're getting away with it. So you think, like, you know, you're just walking and God hasn't humbled you yet.
Mm.
Everything that God builds is foundational.
Yeah.
It's going to stay. So picture this building. So the foundation is strong, but now you're building your own levels. That's all going to fall down regardless because God's going to have to humble you and restart because that's not what God's building. That's what you're building. So you don't want to get to the 100th floor and then have God knock that whole thing down because that's devastating.
Crumble. Everything that can be shaken.
If he knocks out a couple floors,
shaken.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Restart. Wow. But like, you don't want to build too long without God and then he has to knock that whole thing down.
Think
that's
about
just
that.
Like God though.
Yeah.
He'll give you so much progress.
Yeah.
And say, hey, if I take this one thing, what they still rely on.
It's like Jenga. Mm-hmm.
What did you build it on?
Literally.
Exactly.
Literally.
Think about it.
If that one thing that I take away changes your love and your vision of me, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
We got to do another heart check.
Yeah.
I'm about to lean in on this microphone because the way that God humbled the people when they thought that they could build the Tower of Babel for themselves.
That was wild.
They thought that they could be God. Mm-hmm. They thought that they had enough intelligence, enough wisdom to say, we don't need you. We're going to build our own tower up to heaven so that we can be our own God.
And they made some progress.
And they made some progress.
They were.
But this is the thing. But this is the thing. This is the thing.
It was working. It was really on it.
They made the progress, but all of it amounted to nothing.
To nothing.
Why? Because they did not build on the foundation that can't be shaken.
Mm.
I said, everything that can be shaken will be shaken so that which cannot be shaken will remain.
Yeah.
So what are you building your life on? Are you building your life on the things of the kingdom? Slow and steady wins the race.
Mm.
We got a long life to live.
Yeah.
And it's not long enough. Mm. We've got our days, but our days are numbered. So how are you building now? Mm. What are you doing now? Are you prioritizing the kingdom? Are you submitting to process? Are you going through the things that God wants to do in your life? Because if you don't, you might build your whole life to be this amazing, successful thing.
Mm.
What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? What if you're building something and you're like, man, look at all that I've accomplished, all that I've acquired, all that I've done, and it amounts to nothing.
Mm. Mm.
So I was going to ask you one more question, but I feel like there's a grace for people. It doesn't matter where they're at on the journey, but specifically young people.
Mm.
And I want you to pray. I want you to pray for that. Is there any last thoughts that you guys have on that before we pray? Because I feel a grace specifically for young people, specifically for the next generation, for the not just the next, but the now generation. Every person alive at this time, I feel like if they can get these things right, this is enough to get them started. So can you pray for them, for the audience, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this podcast. We thank you for this moment. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for everybody getting ready to watch this video. We thank you for the millions of people that will see this video. God, right now, I pray for this generation. I pray that you show them that they are more than conquerors. I pray that you show them that you have given them a hope and a future. Yes, God, I pray that you reveal to us all that we cannot find fulfillment in money. We can't find fulfillment in drugs or the club or Tinder or whatever else is going on Instagram or TikTok or being viral. God, we can find fulfillment within you. Yes. It wasn't until I realized that very fact that I stepped into a place of peace, a place of prosperity. For the Bible says, I pray that you prosper as your soul prosper. God, so many people right now, their soul is not prospering. Their bank account may be prospering, but their soul is not prospering, which results in suicide, which results in depression, which results in anxiety. But right now, we just want to rebuke the spirit of anxiety over the generation. We want to rebuke the spirit of depression. And God, I pray that right now, you pour your spirit out. We pray that you pour your peace out on everybody watching this video and beyond. We pray over LA, Houston, Dallas, New York, Miami, everybody in this generation. We pray that you push them towards purpose, prosper them towards destiny. And God, I pray that you silence the voice of the enemy in their life that tells them they're nothing without followers, that they're nothing without what's in their bank account. But God, you have made them everything in your sight. God, you have blessed them with purpose. You have blessed them with a gift and a talent and a future that the enemy wants to cancel. But we rebuke that right now in Jesus' name. Jesus. Yeah. And we speak destiny over this generation. We speak purpose and positioning and patience over this generation. And I thank you, God, that you're giving somebody encouragement right now. Hallelujah. You're giving somebody hope right now. Somebody who's getting ready to give up, but right now you're giving them a new sense and a new drive to be alive, a new drive to live within your marvelous light. So right now, God, I pray that you touch everyone watching this video and everyone connected to them and do a new thing in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, man. Man, I just pray you caught it. I just pray that you caught it, and that whenever you caught it, that it does exactly what the word says, that this word right now would take root and bear fruit in your life, the fruit of the Spirit, that we would see it, and that we would not just see it, but that everyone and everything connected to you would be able to benefit off of the fruit of your life. Miles, what can we expect from you? Where can we find you? Just how can we stay tapped in with Glow Nation?
Listen, it's a movement. Yeah. It's a real life movement, and it's out of my hands. It's in God's hands. Like, he's doing new stuff all the time. But you can follow us at miles.minnick on all social media platforms and get ready for Glowvember, Glow Fest. You know, we just had the sold out Glowvember event in downtown LA. Over 1,000 people showed up for the Lord to really represent in our own way. It's crazy, but more is on the way. Let's go.
We love y'all. Make sure, if you already aren't, subscribe to this channel and the Go, what is it?
Discord.
The Go Discord. Yes. Hey, y'all know, I'm not going to edit this either. The Go Discord, because you want to get in community, you want to get plugged in, you want to be a part of all of this, because you can stay tapped in with not just us here, but many others 24/7. You have access to be able to build your faith, to pray with people, to be in Bible plans, to do so many things. So get in the Go Discord. And also, we are moving all the podcasts. I'm serious. We are on the one channel right now. You're watching this on the one channel, but we are also going to the Generation One channel so that we can start to build something new, something fresh. And we thank God for the grace and the gift of one. And shout out to Pastor Ture, Pastor Sarah. We love y'all. Thank you for trusting us with this space. And we'll catch y'all on the next one.
Yes.
Peace.